If you're head over heels for the English language and find that you and Idiom are a match made in heaven, then my next guests will never leave your love on the rocks. Olivia Rosenman and Helen Rydstrand are the expressionists, host of a podcast dedicated to lifting the lid on the strange expressions that pepper our speech. A very good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, I'm almost loath to say the topic of what we're talking about this morning after 2 weeks ago doing toilet idiom. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about period idioms. We thought we'd just go with the flow.
So to speak. Not even so to speak at all. This is beautiful. All right. Brilliant. Okay.
Isn't it interesting how uncomfortable you are to mention it?
Wildly so. And it says a lot about how we view gender roles, let's be honest.
It does. Yep. It does indeed. And I think, you know, it's not just a men thing. It's all kinds of women feel uncomfortable talking about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were inspired to cover this topic because 2 weeks ago when we were covering toilet idioms, we chatted to this man, Mark Balla, who runs this organisation that puts toilets into schools in India. A lot of toilets,
fantastic,
a lot of schools
stuff.
Don't have
them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he told us this really tragic story about a primary school where basically the teacher, who was a young woman, just couldn't teach for the week that she had her period because there was no toilet in the school, which meant not only was her professional life affected, but the kids that she taught also weren't able to go to school for that week. And we just thought it's really interesting. I mean, there are taboos about menstruation all over the world,
oh, yeah,
in every religion. And we thought, hey, let's just tackle it head on.
Well, let's tackle it head on right now. What are we starting with?
So I'm going to start with something obvious. A lot of the idioms about periods use the word red. So they include the red badge of courage, which I never heard before, but apparently it seems like it's a joke about a Civil War book, and
wow,
which was later a movie, came out in 1951. also seems to sometimes refer to having sex during a period. Crimson Tide, you can also have a red tide or river or a moon or light or army, a red curse, red days, etc. I'm thinking of Clueless, of course, surfing
of course.
The crimson wave.
Of course.
Is a good way to get out of being late to class. you can check into the Red Roof Inn. You might have a red wedding, perhaps reserved for especially horrifying periods with a lot of stabbing pains. Nick's speechless.
I didn't expect a Game of Thrones ones in there. I really didn't.
I couldn't work out if that one predated that episode. But,
we can only hope.
We can only hope. The Red Baron, Code Red, falling to the communists.
Have not heard that one.
It's good, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Okay, and so another older but also excellent political example is a more obscure French one. The English have landed, which left me scratching my head at first.
The lobsters, the redcoats.
The redcoats. You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it refers to the Napoleonic Wars, either recalling the bloodshed of battle or, yeah, as you said, the redcoats that they wore. Isn't it great? But Olivia has an even weirder one, I reckon.
I do. And first of all, I might just make the point that, I mean, you saw how many Helen had, and also we found in researching this episode that there's a real lack of definitive information about a lot of these idioms. And that might have something to do with the fact that it's about women, but it also might have something to do with the fact that there's so many of them. So there was a big study last year by the some international women's health coalition, and they questioned 90,000 women across 190 countries, and they found more than 5,000 different words or phrases for periods.
5,000?
Yeah, it's amazing. So one that was apparently Australian, but once again, I had never heard and found little definitive information about is Shark Week.
Yes, no.
Right? You've heard of Shark Week.
Okay. I've heard of Shark Week.
Okay. So it's funny actually because there's this ABC podcast called Ladies We Need to Talk, and the host in that, Yumi Stein, says that even though she knows it's irrational, she every time she has a period and she goes swimming in the ocean, she has this terror of attracting sharks. Once again, Nick, just speechless.
I never thought about it before, but now I always will.
Well, yeah? You always will now, won't you?
So, as I said, had trouble finding information, especially because Shark Week, as well as being a slang word for your period, is this special week of programming on the Discovery Channel, where they literally have a week of shark-related TV content.
It's utterly bizarre. It's so American.
You know it.
It's not even funny. Oh, yeah, yeah, Shark Week's famous. So the first time I heard that idiom in use in that particular way was Twitter 2009.
Okay.
That's very specific.
That is very specific. I'd only joined 2 years earlier. I remember it. I wasn't following many people. I referred to it as Shark Week, and I thought that was hilarious. That's the first time I'd ever heard of it.
There's one really great theory about where this comes from, and I don't know how to describe it. What I came across amazing picture on the internet, which is kind of like a cross-section of the brain and smelling system, the olfactory system of a shark.
Okay.
So basically, sharks have these two amazing nostrils sort of on either side of their head at the bottom, which is why, I mean, sharks can smell or taste or, you know, it's kind of a weird mixture of smell and taste, blood in water from a long distance away, and this
miles
is how
they
do
it. Miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, so they have this amazing two nostril sacs on either side of their broad head, and each one of them has two holes that suck in water and then dispel it. So basically, as they suck the water in, it goes over all these olfactory folds that allow them to really register what is in the water. Then they spit it out again. So each of those, picture this, right? You've got two olfactory sacs sort of hanging on the side. And let's imagine we've got the shark up, right? And then these two tubes that attach it to, and it's got this amazing brain system that has a forebrain, a medium brain, and a hind brain. So that's just like three levels of registering it. But just picture this, two sacs coming down to a central brain. Now, I mean, I don't know, maybe men haven't studied female, a lot of like everyday listeners won't be familiar with the female, or maybe they will. Like, I think as a woman, you're very familiar with what it looks like, your two ovary sacs that come down into your uterus. It looks exactly the same, right? You've got two sacs attached by tubes to the uterus. So that's one potential origin of Shark Week.
When you started this podcast, did you imagine that you would have to take a deep dive into Salacian biology in order to get to the etymology of a particular idiom?
Never in my wildest dreams, Nick. And I think we've been pretty surprised with the course of this podcast about the amazing cultural insight that it's given us.
I'm impressed too. Look, where can people listen to the podcast, more importantly?
Right. Well, so they can still catch the toilet episode for another week.
Excellent.
And our period episode will be up next Friday, the
1st of December,
isn't
it?
1st of December.
Don't tell me
punch.
We're nearly at December. Wow.
Afraid so. Wow. Someone said Merry Christmas to me yesterday.
No, it's not okay. I don't want to hear it. I got really angry when Christmas trees went up at the start of November in my town.
Yep.
Not okay, Petersham. Not okay. thank you both so very much. Of course, you can get it on any good podcast app. It is available via iTunes, anywhere else. And if you are listening to it, you should leave a rating and a review. It does help other people find beautiful work like this. Helen Olivia, the Expressionist, thank you so very much.